Item 8, from the Director, Department of Administrative Services, providing an informational verbal report on staffing and transition plans for the Office of Risk Management. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Very good. Mr. Tyler, I asked for this item because I thought the committee would benefit from a little wider ranging update. I know you've got an introduction to make this morning, but it's just it's an office that's had a lot of movement in the last couple of years and a lot going on right now. And so I thought it needed a broader discussion. So when you're ready, if you can both introduce yourself.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, yes, thank you for the opportunity to do so. And Mr. Chair, I appreciate our conversation last week and your desire to do this. First, I'd like to introduce our new Risk Management Director, Amy Pahacek. And I think some of you have had the opportunity to get acquainted with her already. She hails from Lake County, and she was the risk manager of Lake County, Illinois, which is basically part of the greater Chicagoland area. So we're really thrilled to have her. She started with us in mid-January, and obviously she's hit the street running at many different levels. Her primary focus in her first 90 days on the job is to first meet with not only you, but all of the department heads across the county, tour our major facilities, and then complete an assessment of the department, including staff, processes, and functions. So for instance, as you may recall, Human Resources was kind enough to give us a kind of a helping hand on the FMLA processing during this whole transition. And I'm pleased to report that Amy's done a terrific job in short order in bringing all of that effort up to being current. So we're 100% current now on FMLA processing. So it's as the chair had mentioned, it's my understanding that there might be some interest in learning a little bit more about the departure of Dennis Dietcher. I am happy to give you whatever I know. I found out about the situation when the district attorney's office met with me last Wednesday mid-morning, and that was basically just prior to Dennis Dietcher's arrest, which I think occurred late Friday or Wednesday afternoon. Unfortunately, I don't have much more to add beyond that, beyond what you've read in the newspaper, since the investigation is ongoing and there's no charges that have been filed. However, I can tell you that Dennis submitted his paperwork for retirement on February 28th, Friday, last Friday. And that affords us the opportunity. It's one of the questions you have in terms of what are we doing. It affords us now the opportunity to post for the position, which was good news for us because had he not retired, we would have had to continue to keep the position open. So we can now move forward and post and start our search in the replacement. I can also tell you that I personally know of no other county employees that are under investigation. The investigation's ongoing, but I don't know of any county employees that are under investigation. I can also tell you that, additionally to Dennis's arrest, a representative from the restoration company was arrested shortly after Dennis's arrest, and I'm not sure whether you knew that or not. Finally, this investigation came about as a byproduct of the conversation that Gary Wozzeck and I had with the DA's office regarding our concerns about the certain staff dismantling the missing circuit breakers. I think you recall that discussion. As a result of that fact, this investigation is now part of that earlier investigation, so they're all kind of wrapped together. So what are we doing now? In the meantime, Amy does bring with her a great deal of experience to shore up the situation on a near-term basis. Additionally, Julie Esch, she seems to be covering so many bases for us these days, and other staff members are assisting us as needed. And I can assure you that the departure has not slowed down the courthouse restoration process, and I think we'll be providing you with an update here momentarily on that. So what I'd like to do now is turn it over to Amy, and she can kind of speak to, in a little bit more detail perhaps, what she's been up to in her first month of the job.
Before we get there, we may have questions for you about
sure.
More generally. Supervisor Rainey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Tyler, I'm not fully, aware of what exactly occurred with Mr. Dietrich. Can you explain in detail exactly what happened?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, I can generally give you what I have read in the newspapers. So, and I'm going to seek Corp Counsel if I get a little bit. I don't want to jeopardize any of the ongoing investigation.
Sorry. The complaint is public.
It's
right?
Public. Yes.
So I mean, we can talk. I'm assuming we've seen the complaint.
In detail exactly what occurred.
Can we just, yes. Mr. Chairman, my understanding, and maybe Mr. Vargan knows this better, is that there is no complaint. He has not been charged, so he has merely been arrested.
I'm glad to speak to Supervisor.
Sure. Come on.
Supervisors and Chairman. There is not a criminal complaint, which is the charging document. Charges have not been filed. I did check with the DA's office just before the meeting this morning. They said, as sometimes they do, we have nothing further for you at this point, but my understanding is that they're working actively on charges and investigations, and there should be something soon. The document that was available is called a probable cause report. It's something that the DA put together and sent to the jail at the time of Mr. Dietrich's arrest. That report outlined three charges against Mr. Dietrich. I don't have it in front of me, but they were in the nature of misuse of office. They involved incidents, as has been reported in the paper, where Mr. Dietrich is alleged to have received consideration, money, work of various forms from county contractors that he was working with in his job duties.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bargren. Mr. Tyler.
Thank you.
Now, last time you were before us, we were discussing an employee stealing copper, and now we're discussing some misconduct in the office. What exactly is going on?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, as again, we had that discussion as it relates to there were certain staff and facilities. As we were seeking clarity on the circuit breakers, missing circuit breakers, one of the things that was mentioned to us in our interviewing process of staff was that perhaps that certain staff was taking copper from some of the equipment, and that's when we approached the district attorney to ask them to do some investigative work. That, as I mentioned before, that now is part of this overall investigation. So again, I don't want to jeopardize the ongoing investigation for the DA, but I'm not sure what else I can tell you.
Just to clarify that last point, I thought that the component of the investigation, the previous one, had wrapped up. That the DA had concluded that, and that it's now in a personnel. It's now in our court in terms of what's happening with that.
Yes, Mr. Chair and Supervisors, that was our expectation as well, and we began the normal HR investigative process so we could move forward on any potential disciplinary action of certain staff. And as we were moving forward on that, the DA's office approached us at the time that I had mentioned in my notes or in my testimony that we should probably back off of that investigation because it's now part of the ongoing investigation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That was
it.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Tyler, there was a gentleman from Universal Restoration Company in front of the Finance, Personnel, and Audit Committee. I believe that was Mr. O'Brien. You did not reference him earlier with respect to this other person who had been arrested. That was not Mr. O'Brien.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, that's correct. It was not Mr. O'Brien that was arrested.
Because it's my understanding that he was the only representative of the company that had been in front of the committee. So if it wasn't him, I'm...
Mr. Chair, that Supervisor, that's correct.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Borkowski. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to speak as the senior member of this county board, nearly 22 years experience, and I'm going to just put the cards on the table. Mr. Tyler, you and administration have a credibility issue, whether you know it or not. And you might say, well, what does that mean? Well, obviously, I think we all feel blindsided by the whole Dennis Dietcher thing, what he did or didn't do or whatever. The bottom line is that it came on the heels of a special finance meeting is when you all, in essence, begged for us to keep the flow of money going for the restoration of this project. Now, you can say I had nothing to do with it or whatever, but again, being down here as long as I have, and the paranoia and the lack of trust that is between the second floor and the third floor, it just seemed way coincidental that the timing of everything was the way it was. And I will tell you that I am not going to be as reasonable, I think, as I have been as far as allowing monies to flow out. These are some issues that I'm kind of amazed that, I think the county executives people, they look at the county board, where's collateral damage? We're only, down here for a couple more years, we'll deal with them, but it's still 2 years. And I feel sorry for your new hire here because she's coming into a lousy situation that I will tell you that while I'm speaking for myself, and my colleagues can obviously speak for themselves and think for themselves, it's not going to be business as usual anymore.
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, I'm not sure what the lesson is to learn on that. What we've been doing here is we approached the DA, we approached Corp Counsel when we had a concern. So from my vantage point, I feel like we're doing the right thing and identifying certain things that we're uncomfortable with and asking Corp Counsel and the district attorney to take a look at. So I'm not sure if there's a lesson you're asking me to learn on this when I hear a comment like that.
Well, perhaps I'll redirect that a little bit because I know that I've heard in committee questions about how Universal was selected. There were concerns from board members about how Universal came to be selected for such a large contract. And I don't know if those were answered as clearly as many people would have liked. And so then when we see what is alleged, which is that there was a very close relationship between, or potentially a very close relationship between someone at the vendor and one of our employees, and that could have allowed such an arrangement is what's being alleged. That strikes at the very heart of the concerns that committee members had raised, and we relied on the administration's assertions that everything was. Above board in that procurement, even though it apparently was, it's no bid, it was sole source for one of the largest contracts we hold. What does this do to the executive's previous statements that he believes that not one dime of taxpayer money is in jeopardy? Does this change the equation in relation to our coverage or the likelihood of our full collection?
Mr. Chair and Supervisors, I am happy to cover that in the next item, but I can tell you that we continue to receive the same assurance from the insurance fund as we have from the very beginning, that all the costs associated specifically related to the fire will be covered. So I have not heard, nor has my staff heard, anything different as a result of this situation.
Supervisor Rainey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Tyler, as Director of Department of Administrative Services, how closely did you work with Mr. Dietrich?
Mr. Chair and supervisors, I worked very closely with Mr. Dietrich beginning on July 6th due to the courthouse fire. Prior to that, we had a director of risk management in place, and I had been acquainted with Dennis between my hire about a year ago and July 6th, but had not worked with him directly. But due to the courthouse fire and then the subsequent departure of the risk management director, I ended up working with Dennis very closely.
Okay. And during that daily process, was there any red flags? Was there anything that made you suspicious about what possibly could be going on?
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, there was nothing as it relates to this specifically. I wish that there had been. And it's important to note that the investigation's ongoing. From what I've read in terms of the report, the probable cause report, right now they're focused on situations that occurred, I think, in 2010 and 2011. But rightly so, they should be taking a look at what's transpired all the way up to his arrest. So I don't know of anything, other than, this was kind of new territory for me personally as it relates to declaring an emergency and then sole sourcing, as the chair has referenced. This is a fairly common practice, from my understanding, in the industry. And we rely on the state to some extent in identifying preferred vendors for these emergency situations. Having said that, that was new territory for me in trying to understand how all of that works. It's been, I think, that there will be some learnings out of that. That we will take. Obviously, Amy might even have a view on that. I don't know, but certainly the learnings that we will have, she will probably be implementing.
And thus far, have you began to explore any firewalls, any safeguards to prevent, taxpayer dollars to being subjected to this type of situation in the future?
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, we, because the investigation's ongoing, we've done nothing other than having some internal conversations, myself and my staff, in terms of next steps going forward. So there's nothing formulated, but it certainly has gotten us having some discussions, and like I said, there'll be some learnings out of this, and I'm sure we will come up with some ideas on how to do better going forward.
And do you intend to report those findings, which you and your team learned, to this committee in the future once you've reached those conclusions?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, we'd be pleased to do so.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor
Weiser. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like us to focus actually on item 8 and actually hear the staffing and transition plan, because in the budget, we were ridiculed by the department and the executive to some of the changes they wanted to make to the department and some of the positions that we had put back. So could we hear something about the staffing and so-called transition? I'd like to know what we're transitioning from and to. And just a suggestion in the future is that, especially on these topics, that we no longer receive a verbal report on this, that if they're not prepared to have a written document in front of us, that we not entertain the item.
Okay, I'll take that under consideration. It was a late addition by me, so that's why I accepted it verbally. Before we move on to sort of where we're going, could you alluded to the fact that we had an abrupt departure of the former risk manager immediately after the fire. Do we have any ongoing issues there, or no litigation or anything?
Mr. Chair, supervisors, not to my knowledge. I'm looking at not to my knowledge.
Okay. And then in regard to Mr. Dietcher, there's no bad boy provision or anything, so there will be no effect on pension claim, or is there a way to fight that potentially?
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, the so-called bad boy provision in the pension ordinances applies only to someone who has left county employment and is eligible to later receive a deferred vested pension. The bad boy provisions by the terms of the ordinance do not apply to someone who retires directly from county service. And so the answer to your question is no, there's nothing to do with respect to his pension under the current ordinances.
All right, then moving on as requested.
Okay, so Mr. Chair and supervisors, I'm going to ask Amy to kind of outline some of the things that she's working on now. I just want to reference, I think Supervisor Wyshon's referring to perhaps the area of workers' compensation area specifically, if I understand it correctly. In the budgeting process, I think where we were headed as a result of the budget was that the positions, there was two positions that were unfunded based on the fact that we were going to do an assessment on workers' compensation in that area and then do an RFP and explore the possibility of processing worker compensation claims a little bit differently than we are right now. So I'm going to ask Amy to kind of give a broad overview of her processes, and then she can take some questions.
Okay. You start by pronouncing your full name so we can
yes,
not call
course.
You Amy.
Chairman, supervisors, thank you for the opportunity to introduce myself today. My name is Amy, last name's Pahacek. Little tricky there, not at all like it's spelled, but I won't bore you to death with my background. You've been given a copy of my resume. I just did want to state very, very quickly that I come to you from Lake County, Illinois, as Mr. Tyler indicated, where I was the risk manager for 5 years. So I have a lot of experience in all of the functions that I'm currently handling here at Milwaukee County, which is claims administration, excess insurance procurement, workers' compensation, FMLA, and all of that. And I had some great successes there, so I hope to translate that to some great successes here. So just to give you a quick brief update on the three functional areas, risk management pretty much handles safety, the workers' compensation claims administration, and also FMLA here at Milwaukee County. As Mr. Tyler indicated, we do have a vacant position for our safety manager, so I have been working with Human Resources, obtained the job description. I'll be updating that and posting that very quickly. And I'm excited to get some new perspective and some new energy into that position for all of our safety functions here at the county. In the interim, I have been acting as the safety manager with a lot of help and resources from our safety officers and all of the other departments, so we're plugging along just fine and keeping up all of our safety practices here. Regarding the workers' compensation, it's my understanding the decision was made last year to move that to a third-party administrator, which is a best practices approach and something I definitely support. The RFP has been written, and I'm just reviewing the draft and tweaking it a little bit with our current internal administrative processes. So I'm happy to come back when that's prepared and ready to go and give you guys an update with that with a more specific timeline. And the last functional area is the FMLA administration. When I got here, FMLA really took up the lion's share of my first month. We were in kind of we had some issues with compliance with the state and federal regulations. So we definitely are looking at that. We need some process improvements from that regard. Currently, we're handling 3,800 leaves annually, and we're tracking that on an Excel spreadsheet. So what I've done is I've basically put together a cross-functional work group with representatives from many different departments here at the county. We're going to look at our current process, and we're going to develop some solutions and some improvement alternatives that I can research then and come back to the committee with some recommendations of how we can be a little bit more efficient and compliant with administration of FMLA. I'm happy to take any questions. Keep in mind, I've only been here a month, so I will answer just to the best of my ability.
Just a brief comment to help support Amy. Although she came to us from Lake County, she is a Greendale. She grew up in Greendale. She's a Milwaukeean at heart.
Right. Thank you, Mark. I'm born and raised in Milwaukee County, from Greendale, went to UW-Madison, then went to Northwestern for my master's. So great affection for the county of Milwaukee, and very happy to be back here to work with you guys and all the people here to make things better. So thank you.
Any questions or comments from committee members? And then you mentioned those three areas, FMLA, safety, and workers' comp, and then insurance is also?
Excess insurance procurement is also something that we do. We do a lot of other things as well, contract review and all of that, but those are the three major service areas now that take up almost all of our time.
Okay. I flagged that for you. If you're not aware, we had a little hiccup with that
Our
last round. So. Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Pahacek, you said 3,800 claims, 3,800 FMLA.
That is correct.
And we have 4,000 or so employees?
Correct.
How far back was the backlog? Because I heard earlier that we're pretty much up to speed.
We are currently 100% caught up as of today.
Okay, and that 3,800 extended for how long?
That's an annual number of leaves. That an average, that's how many leaves we had last year. So as of 2014, I couldn't state specifically how many. I could get that number for you so far.
That's right.
Right.
No, I was just concerned. Okay. So there were 3,800 leaves, implying that some of these leaves were, there are multiple leaves by the same person.
Correct.
Okay. For 2013, and we are now up to date. So with respect to the workman's compensation claims manager and claims examiner's position, I know that we did pass in the budget an amendment to, well, I guess we passed an amendment to retain the positions, but the original plan was to contract with a third-party administrator. Any sense as to how long those two people will be employed?
Chairman, supervisors, that's a very difficult question to answer without an implementation plan and without having selected a vendor. Of course, it's my goal to work with them as long as possible.
Okay.
And I do need a structure in place internally to monitor a TPA, so I'm still trying to work out those details. So I will... do my best to accommodate. I guess I know it's a sensitive issue, but all of the issues here.
Thank you. And if you would report to the committee as you have something in place and what your intentions are, that would be appreciated.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Seeing no further comments or questions from committee, thank you. Good to have you here.
Thanks,
Andy. Item 9.